Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
Good morning, LifeLink. Be seated. Thank you, my friend. Awesome. If you're glad you can be in God's house, say yes. Come on, me too. It is good to be here. I feel like this is home, by the way. I hail from Fort Myers, Florida. My wife Sarah and I moved there 18 years ago and started a church called Next Level Church in Fort Myers, Florida. And so, but I walked in yesterday for our conference and ran into one of the greeters, and I said, I just looked right at her and I said, I feel like I'm home. And she kind of stopped and looked at me and she goes, you are home. And I'm like, yes, I am. Come on. This can be my West Coast home. How's that sound, kid? Amen. Well, it is so good to be here. And as Pastor David just said, what a privilege and honor it is to be a voice of influence and leadership in Pastor David and Cherie's life. How many know LifeLink? This is an uncommon church. Come on. The best kind of uncommon, right? Amen. This sure is. And so I want you to know that I just honor your pastors today and just honor all of you and what God has raised up here in the valley. And it's just such an incredible thing to be a part of. And I want you to know you're a part of a unique church because God is using your church, not just to influence Gilbert's, but even just the valley. I want you to know there is an apostolic anointing and calling on your pastors to influence not just this region, but really this whole part of the United States. And he is one of our group leaders in the Next Level Relational Network. And so every month, for 2 hours a month, he gets online with 8 or 10 pastors from all across America and even some from Canada now, and is influencing churches all across North America, whether you realize it or not, by being a part of LifeLink. And so it's just awesome. Can you one more time put your hands together? Let's honor your pastors. We love them so much. Yes. Woohoo. Come on. Well, I came with a question today. Are you ready? Here's my question. Are you ready? Come on. Are you ready? Come on. Are you ready? All right, let me finish the question. Are you ready to dig? All right, it's about half as many. Okay, that's okay, that's okay, that's good, that's good. I was born and raised in Indiana, and so as a Midwest kid, one summer, probably 10 or 11 years of age, my family and our best friend's family, we decided to take a spring break vacation to Marco Island, which is actually down near Fort Myers now. And so we spent the entire week in Marco Island on the beach, and for whatever reason as a kid, I had this desire not to play in the waves or whatever, but my buddy and I, and he was a couple years younger than me, we had this desire to dig a hole. Anybody ever went to the beach and you're like, I feel like I just, nobody, my people, thank you. You're trapped. I pay you to say that. This is one of our worship pastors in our church. Oh, and David, you're my friend, so that's not even fair. No, but honestly, I had this desire. So my buddy and I, we get up early, we go out to the beach, you know, and we got our shovels and we're digging, and we dug a deep hole. I don't know if it, being in Indiana, somebody told me, you can dig through to find China. And I'm like, that sounds good. Let's try it, right? I don't know. We dug such a deep hole at the beach that day as kids that literally my buddy got into it at one point and he disappeared. Like, it was so deep that when he sat down in the hole, like, you couldn't see him from the level. Like, it was awesome. And so I remember, though, man, our son, from being from Indiana, we knew nothing about sunscreen. And so our backs were just fried like lobsters that afternoon. But it was fun. We dug this hole. It was funny because the deeper we went, we reached a level where the hole started filling up with water. Anybody ever had that happen to you where you dig so deep? Yeah, there's some hands. You dig so deep that you hit the water table. And the hole now, instead of water coming in from the top, the water actually comes from the bottom. And that's what I want to talk about today in Scripture. So let me kind of start with this concept or this premise that when you read the Bible, in the Bible, in Scripture, which around here at LifeLink we believe is the inspired Word of God, relevant to our everyday lives, amen? In the Bible, God's Spirit is often symbolized by water. Let me give you a couple of illustrations of that. James chapter 5, verse 18 says, then he prayed again, and heaven gave, what's the word? Rain, and the earth bore its fruit. Psalm 72, verse 6, may he be like, what's the word? Rain that falls on the mown grass like showers that water the earth. Acts 14, look at this one, verse 17. Yet he did not leave himself without witness, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. Heaven's reign. Let me kind of set the framework of what I want to talk about for the next couple of minutes this morning. Heaven's reign in the Bible speaks to grace. It speaks to mercy. It speaks to the favor of God on our lives. It speaks to the outpouring of the Spirit on our lives. And listen to this. Well over 100 times we read the words reign, reign of the Spirit, or heaven's reign in the Bible. And that's a good thing, isn't it? Come on, aren't you thankful for the reign of God in your life, the Spirit of God? Amen. It's so important. But now watch this. When there's an absence of rain in our life, it causes a drought or a desert or famine. And spiritually speaking, the absence of rain causes a season of dryness. And the Bible word for a season of dryness is the word wilderness. Let me ask you, anybody ever experienced a dry season in your relationship with God? Come on, isn't it like if you've walked with Jesus for, I don't know, more than 3 months, right? Or whatever, like you, I'm sure we've walked through dry seasons in our life. And the truth is, if we walk with Jesus long enough, we will go through times. I promise you, it's just part of our faith. We'll go through times of wilderness or dry seasons. And here's the reason why God allows dry seasons in our life. Because God can use dry seasons in our life to strengthen our faith like harvest seasons never can. Plain and simple, God will use a dry season in our life like a harvest or a fruitful season never can. And watch this. In those dry seasons, what most of us do is pray for rain. Right? Like when we hit a dry season spiritually in our life, what most of us do is, God, will you make it rain? God, I need your Spirit. God, pour it out on me. God, and we like look from above for the water of the Spirit to come on us. And there's nothing wrong with that. But this morning, I want to show us another way that I believe God wants us to learn how to find water as well. And it's found in Genesis 26. If you have your Bible or your Bible app, turn with me or click with me to Genesis 26. If you don't want to do those things, the verses are going to be on the screen. You'll be able to follow along there. But I would love for you to read along with me. Watch this. Because in Genesis 26, we're introduced to a man named Isaac. Everyone say Isaac. And Isaac was the son of Abraham. Okay, so here's where we pick up the story. Genesis 26, verse 1, it says this. Now there was a famine in the land. So there it is, a dry season. There's a famine in the land besides the previous famines in Abraham's time. So he's like, yeah, Isaac's dad, Abraham, had a famine. Not that famine. This is a different famine. They wanted to be sure we understood which famine we were talking about. And Isaac, there's our guy, went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Verse 2, look. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. I want to give you a few thoughts today on dry seasons. Maybe you want to take some notes. Maybe you want to write these down. Here's the first thought. Number one, in dry seasons, our temptation is to run. In dry seasons, our temptation is to run. Did you catch it? It says there was a famine, a dry season in the land. And so Isaac goes to the king, and they're both kind of conspire together, and they're like, yep, it doesn't look like it's going to rain anytime soon. And so in this dry season, Isaac was tempted to run. And did you catch where he was tempted to run to? Egypt. And anybody who's familiar with Bible study knows that Egypt in Scripture always represents for us bondage. It always represents for us the world, the secular, or the familiar. And so when Isaac hit a dry season in his life, he was tempted to run, to get away from where he was, to uproot himself and to go back to what was familiar, to go back to the world system, to go down to Egypt. But God shows up and he speaks to Isaac and he says, Isaac, do not run. Stay planted where you are. Stay faithful where you are, because if you'll stay, I'll bless you. And isn't it interesting that when you and I hit a dry season in our life, so many of us, we, like Isaac, are tempted to run. And I would contend this morning that so many of us are tempted to run to Egypt, to the world. Come on, isn't it true? We hit a spiritual dry season, and instead of cracking open our Bible, we click on Netflix and we binge another season of Netflix, some mindless show. What's your Egypt? Come on, what's your Egypt? What's your temptation to run to? Is it football? Is it fantasy football? Is it pornography? Maybe for some of us, it's some vice, it's some drug, it's some wine, it's alcohol, it's drugs, it's marijuana. Maybe for some of us, it's shopping. And when the going gets tough, the tough go shopping. Listen, I love to shop, so no condemnation, just saying it can be an Egypt in our lives, amen? Come on, right? Maybe it's some hobby that, in our life, and when we get stressed, instead of running to God, instead of running to church, we start to pull away from those things, and we find ourselves running toward Egypt. We run toward anything, any medication, anything that will give us a temporary relief. We run away from God. We run away when we hit a dry season from church, from serving. We run away from our small group. We want to run away from connecting. We run away from tithing. And that's where Isaac was. He wanted to run, wanted to escape the dry season. But God said, Isaac, don't run and stay in the land. Trust me and I will bless you, but I'm not going to bless you the way you think. So skip down to verse 12. Verse 12, we pick up the story again, and it says this. Isaac stayed. He planted crops in that land. In the same year, reaped a harvest 100-fold because the Lord blessed him. Come on, 100-fold harvest. What in the world? Now that is blessing, isn't it? The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines, the enemies, envied him. Verse 15, look, so all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines, the enemy, stopped up, filling them with dirt, with earth. Verse 16, then Abimelech, the king, said to Isaac, move away from us. You've become too powerful for us. So Isaac moved away from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar where he settled. Then look at verse 18 right here. This is what we got to see. You got to see this. Watch this. Verse 18. Isaac reopened the wells. Come on, say that out loud with me. Isaac reopened the wells. That's what I'm talking about today. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after his father died. And he gave them the same names, we'll talk about that here in a minute, that his father had given them. Here's the second thought I want to give you. Number one, in dry seasons, God doesn't want us to run. He wants us to dig. Number two, God wants us to dig. When you and I hit a dry season in our life, guess what? God doesn't want us to run. He wants us to dig. And this is what we must see. Because for so many of us, when we hit a dry season, most of us pray for rain when we should be digging wells. Instead of running away and taking the easy way out, Isaac made a different decision. He decided to dig. He said, okay, if God's put me in this land, then there's got to be water down there somewhere. I remember when my father Abraham dug these wells. I know there's water down there. Notice he didn't just pray for rain and sit there like a victim, all helpless. Well, there's nothing I can do. God's in charge of the rain. Until the heavens open up, I'll just be the victim. Wrong. Dig. It's time to dig. Come on, look at the person sitting next to you and tell them it's time to dig. Come on, tell them. Come on, it's time to dig. It's time to dig some wells. If I had an organ, I could really preach. And some of you, you're like, no, don't do it. I like this church. It's okay. We'll be back to our regularly scheduled programming next week. Come back. Notice what stopped up the wells. The Philistines, the enemy. The enemy stopped up the wells. You know why? Because the enemy knew that it's nearly impossible for anything good to grow if the wells are stopped up. If there's no water flowing through their land, guess what? You can't grow crops. You can't keep your livestock alive. And church, can I just tell you, the enemy's tactic in all of our lives is to plug up our wells. Because the enemy knows that if he can plug up our wells, then the growth will stop. Some of us, you came into church this morning and you can't figure out why the growth in your life has stopped. Can I tell you, this is why? Because the enemy has stopped up your wells. This is why we're looking on going, God, it's dry here. And for so many of us, it's because the enemy's stopped up our wells. And then did you notice that it said that that Isaac gave the wells the same names that his father Abraham had given them? Well, when I read that, preparing for this talk, I was intrigued by that. I'm like, well, really? Well, what name did Abraham give him? Well, to understand that and to find that out, you have to go back five chapters to Genesis 21, verse 31. Check this out. It says this. So that place was called Beersheba. Everybody say Beersheba.
because the two men swore an oath there. That well was called Beersheba. And so I looked up what the word Beersheba means, and it literally means God of the oath. God of the oath. Watch this. When Isaac hit a dry season in his life, he didn't run from his oath and commitment to God. He ran to it. He renewed it. Do you remember your oath? Do you remember your once upon a time moment with God? For some of us, it was a few months ago in this church. For some of us, maybe it's been a couple years ago. For some of us, it's been decades ago. I remember mine. I'm coming up on 30 years of it now. I'm 44. When I was 15 years old, I was raised in a denominational home, a good home with a good family. But even at 15 years of age, my life had already kind of strewn off course. And I was headed down some wrong directions and some addictions and just was just running crazy. And Easter of my 15-year-old year, 1991, this girl named Sarah, who's now my wife, invited me to her church. And I just thought God was dead because every time I went to my church, the church was dead. And I'm like, well, the church of people like priests like people, right? So God must be dead. And then Sarah invited me to her church, and her dad was the pastor. And he had this cherry red electric guitar. Come on, somebody. Fender Stratocaster. What up? Come on. You feeling me, James? You feeling me, brother? Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. No. It's okay. And I remember I went, 15 years of age, I went to this Easter musical and I sat in the second row, second seat in. Thank you for leaving that open, ladies. Appreciate that. That's right where I was. An auditorium similar to this, country church in Indiana. And I saw the Easter music. I saw this dramatic presentation, and I was into theater and music, and I saw it played out. I saw Jesus die on the cross, and I saw him buried in the tomb. It was just like it happened, fog machine and everything. Choir was great. And I was so moved by this presentation, and at the end of it, the pastor, my now wife's dad, came out. And he said, listen, this isn't just a good story or a good dramatic presentation. This actually happened. This is historic. Jesus died on the cross as payment for our sin. And if you want to say yes to Jesus, I want you to throw your hand up in the air right now. And as a 15-year-old young man in the second row, second seat in, I raised my hand and I said, if that's real, I want that. And that night, I got radically saved and God transformed my life. And then 3 months later, I went to a summer camp. And on Tuesday night of summer camp, the preacher was preaching and I was sitting in the second row, second seat in. I guess that's my jam. And for whatever reason, I was sitting there. And sure enough, at the end of the message, he said, listen, if you feel that God's calling you to give your whole life to serve your generation into full-time ministry, I want you to get out of your seat. And as a 16-year-old young man, I stood up and I walked down to the altar and I knelt down and I got down on my knees and I said, that's me, God. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything, God. I'm all yours. That was my moment of oath. Do you remember yours? Do you remember that moment when Jesus became real and his love overwhelmed you and you said, God, I'll do anything. I just want to serve you. God, I'll go anywhere as long as it's easy. God, I'll follow you as long as there's rain. Some of us need to get back to our Beersheba today. Some of us need to get back to the God of the oath. We need to double down on our oath. Listen, if you're in a dry season, this is not the season to run. It's the season to dig. It's the season to dig a well. It's the season to remember your oath. Back to chapter 26, back to our story. Verse 19, Isaac's servants dug in the valley. Come on, valley people. They didn't dig in Phoenix proper. They weren't downtown. They were in the valley. What's up? Isaac's servants dug in the valley, look at this, and they discovered a well of fresh water. Everybody say fresh water. Number three, come on, in dry seasons, the place to find fresh water is deeper. In dry seasons, the place to find fresh water is deeper. Isaac didn't give up. He didn't run for Egypt. He stayed and he dug, and he and his boys dug, and they found fresh water. Listen, rain is easy. Digging's hard. I get it. Rain is fun. Digging's painful. Rain is light. Digging's heavy. But listen, the Bible says, Jesus says in John chapter 7, verse 38, whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, look at this, rivers of living water will flow from where? From within them. Jesus says, listen, you have the Holy Spirit in you. When you hit a dry season, sure, pray for rain, but even more, grab a shovel, start digging, start tapping into that river of living water on the inside. As believers, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And God will lead us into wilderness and dry seasons to get us to dig deeper in him. Church, there's more I want us to see. Watch this, because in the next three verses, we see three names of the wells that Isaac dug. And they give us three clues as to what plugs up the wells in our lives. Watch this, verse 20, look. But the herders of Gerar quarreled with those of Isaac and said, the water's ours. So he named the well Esek. Everyone say Esek. Three things that plug up our wells. Write them down. Three things that plug up our wells. The word Esek means dispute. Here's the first one. Number one, what plugs up the wells of our life? The first thing is offense. Number one is offense. It says that when Isaac and his boys dug that first well, these shepherds of Gerar, they showed up and they're like, hey, that's our well. They started fighting with each other. In other words, that relationship got out of sync. They were offended. And listen, I can promise you, listen, if we feel like our wells are plugged up in some way today, I can almost guarantee you that offense has gotten in our heart somewhere. I can almost guarantee it, church, that offense has gotten in our heart somewhere. Listen, and God has us in a dry season to get us in our attention and go, hey, that relationship, it matters. You harboring that bitterness in your heart toward that person, you got to deal with it. God will bring us to dry seasons. He'll allow the water flow to stop in our life to get us to go, what's the problem? The problem is there's some relationship in your life that's in dispute. There's an offense that's in our heart. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. This is a memory verse for me. Make sure that no one falls short of the grace of God. And look at this, that no root of bitterness, everyone say root of bitterness, springs up, causing trouble and defiling many. What the writer of the book of Hebrews is saying is essentially this, that when offense comes in, when you and I get a seed of offense in our heart, if we don't dig that out, it will eventually take root and become bitterness in our life. And no matter how hard we try to cover it up, the Bible says it will always do three things. It will spring up. In other words, you can't hide it forever. It'll spring up. Hey, are you good? I notice every time you get around that lady in the office, you kind of like all get weird and stuff. No, I'm fine. We're fine. We're good. We're great. We're great. Really? Then why are you doing that with your head? If everything's so great. Listen, you think you can hide it. Parents, husbands and wives, you're not on the same page. You think your kids don't notice. I promise you they do. They feel it. No matter how young they are, they feel it. The writer of Hebrews says, listen, when we allow an offense, a seed of offense, to enter our heart and take root, it will always spring up. It will always cause trouble. It'll always cause trouble. No, Matt. Pastor Matt, you don't understand. This thing between me and that person, it just affects me. It's just between us. It's my issue. No, it's not. Hebrews says it will spring up, it'll cause trouble, and it will defile many. It doesn't just defile you. Well, this is just my issue. Wrong. People are going to get hurt. People are going to get affected because we have offense in our heart. What plugs up our wells? Offense. Let me give you a simple illustration that I promise can change your life. Ready? Everybody take your hand and put it right here. Okay, everybody put your hand up like this. Okay, ready? And now say, this is expectation. Okay, now put your other hand down here and say, this is reality. Okay, watch. Expectation, reality. You know what you call this? Hurt. Hurt. Whenever we have an expectation and reality doesn't meet it, the gap between those two is called hurt. I promise, you're hurt. Big or small, you're hurt. No, Matt, I'm mad. Okay.
You're hurt.
No, brother, I'm just disappointed. Yeah, you're hurt. Well, no, I'm just sad. Yeah, you're hurt. The gap between what we expected or wanted to happen and what actually happened, that gap is called hurt. And if you and I don't deal with the hurts properly, guess what? It becomes a seed of offense, and a seed of offense becomes a root of bitterness that springs up, causes trouble, and defiles not just us. Big or small? That riff you're having with your in-laws because you expected this at Christmas and only you got this? That's called hurt. Your boss, you were hoping your year-end bonus would be this. It was only this or this. That's called hurt. You thought the drive-through line would go faster and it was really slow. You're hurt. And you know what you do with hurt? Hurt needs forgiven. The answer to closing that gap in our heart is forgiveness. I was in the airport line 2 days ago flying out here, and it's spring break time in Fort Myers, and our airport is under construction, baby. Just awesome. They had one line open. And literally, I'm standing in line at 7 a.m. waiting to go through the airport security line, and it is painfully, awfully, like fruit of the spirit, patience, awful, slow. And yet, I had an expectation, and it was unmet. And I was hurt, and I was forgiving slow people all over the airport. I'm like, I forgive you, and I forgive you. I forgive you. Get moving a little quicker, would you? I forgive you right now. In Jesus' name, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. I'm serious. No, you know what I'm talking about? That thing starts turning in your stomach, and you're like, you're just hurt. You better get your forgiven on right now. Just go. You better start forgiving people in traffic. Just need to forgive. Just need to forgive. I forgive you for driving slow in the fast lane. I'm making light of it, but watch this. Some of you, you're so mad at your husband right now. You're so mad at your spouse. And the best thing you could do before now and bedtime tonight is to sit down at the kitchen table in an unemotional way and go, here's what I expected. And here's what happened. And I forgive. I forgive. Every day I have to wake up and literally I sit in my chair at home and I open my Bible and I open my journal and I go, God, what happened yesterday that hurt? I choose to forgive those coworkers. I choose to forgive my wife. I choose to forgive my expectation of you because I thought you were going to do this. I thought you were going to come through faster. I thought this door was going to open. I thought the whatever would be here. Some of us need to forgive our expectation of God because we're hurt. See, offense plugs up our wells. Here's number two. Look at the next verse, verse 21. So then they dug another well, but they quarreled over that one also. So he named it Sitnah. Everybody say Sitnah. Number two is opposition. What plugs up our wells? Number one is offense. Number two is opposition. Everyone say opposition. Opposition is anything that keeps us from accomplishing God's will in our life. Let me say it another way. Sin. What plugs up our well? Sin. Sin. You know Satan is out to destroy your life, right? Like, you know that the devil is not happy that you're advancing in God. The devil's not happy that you're a part of a church that's impacting literally hundreds of ministry leaders yesterday at this church conference. You know that the devil's not happy about everything that's going on in your life in Jesus' name. You know the devil's not happy about the freedom you're experiencing in your life. And the devil's not happy that your marriage is getting stronger and you're trying to raise godly kids and be an influence on your grandkids. You know the devil's out to destroy your life, right? The devil opposes us. And he'll use sin to do it. And here's what I felt strong in my spirit about this message today to deliver to all of you, church, was that there, for some of us, there's some sins that 4 or 5 years ago were non-negotiable to us. And today are now negotiable. In other words, there are some things that 4 or 5 years ago, if I'd have asked you, you'd have been like, never, absolutely not. I will never. And yet over the last season of your life, when the dry seasons come in, you're dabbling in some of those things again now. You're letting some of those things go. Well, it's just one. And all my friends are sitna. It's opposition. Got any sin in your life? Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's jealousy. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's lack of trust in God. What plugs up our wells? Offense, opposition. And then here's the last one, verse 22. He moved on from there and dug another well. God bless this guy. What a patient dude. And no one quarreled over it. Thank God. He named it Rehoboth. Everyone say Rehoboth, which means room. Saying, now the Lord has given us room, look at the promise, and we will flourish in the land. What plugs up our wells? Offense, opposition, and number three, no room. No room. Isaac finally goes out in the middle of this big open space, and they dig a third well, and they find fresh water, and he goes, you know what? We can win now. We can flourish here. The Lord will cause us to prosper here. You know why? Because we have enough space for the Lord to show up. Church, listen, we live in a dangerously busy time. And can I tell you something? It ain't gonna get any better. Thanks to the magic box in the palm of our hands now, busyness and distraction will never leave us ever again. We are the most distracted generation to have ever existed on planet Earth. So here's what that means. If you and I are actually going to make room for God in our life, we're going to have to fight for that. Nobody around you will fight for your time with God. Moms, nobody around you is going to fight for your time with God. Your kids are never going to be like, hey, Mom, we're good. You go take the next 75 minutes for you and Jesus. It's never going to happen. Although it was a good day when my two teenage boys now, when they got big enough in childhood where they would figure out that Mom was stressed. And I remember my youngest, Drew, looking at Sarah one day and going, hey, Mom, I can tell you're really stressed out. Why don't you just go spend some time with Jesus? We're fine. That's a good day. So maybe actually your kids will tell you at some point. But hey, listen, I get it. I understand the 2.5 kids and the white picket fence thing and the two incomes and the jobs and the bills and the minivan and the practice and we're chucking chicken nuggets back and we're eating while we're driving and we're flying and we're doing all this. Listen, I get it. But if you and I don't start fighting for some Rehoboth, it's never going to happen. You know what plugs up your well? You're just so darn busy. God is just standing at the door going, I got stuff to talk to you about. I would love to hang out with you, daughter. I would love to talk to you, son. I would love to talk to you. Jesus said it this way in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door. And I got stuff to say. I'm knocking. And if you'll create little Rehoboth, if you'll create a little room, you'll hear my voice, you'll open the door, create a little space. I promise, Jesus said, I'll come in and I'll eat with you. In other words, you and I can do this relationship thing. You can thrive, the water can flow. But you gotta unplug the well. You gotta unplug the well. Three things to plug up our wells. Offense, opposition, and no room. What are you doing to fight for some Rehoboth? That's why being in church on Sunday like this every week is so important. It's so important because this is Rehoboth time. Isn't it? When the worship team's here and moments like this, when Pastor Dave preaches or one of the other team preaches, these are moments where Jesus can just breathe life into us. The water can flow. Yeah, but Pastor Matt, I'm so busy and I work 6 days a week and all of the kids and the Sunday morning is the only time that I can ever. Jesus died on a cross. We all got excuses. Let's don't complain about the dry season if we're not willing to dig a Rehoboth. So what is it? Is it offense? Who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to forgive today? Big or small? I challenge you to start to make forgiveness a daily practice in your life. You know why? Because all day long our souls bump into other souls. Imperfect people bumping into imperfect people cause hurt. Big and small. Isn't it fascinating that Jesus on the cross was able to look over at those who had put him there and he said, Father, forgive them. And then what did he say? For they know not what they do. When you can get to that point in your heart, now you're like Jesus. Yeah, but Pastor Matt, they did know what they do. Did they? Or is that just a hurt person hurting other people? When you can stop seeing past the pain they're causing you and start to see them for how Jesus sees them, now you're being like Jesus. And that ability to forgive, even this huge stuff, will come flowing out of you. Father, forgive them, because I can see that they're in pain too. You got any sin in your life? Today's the day. Come on, Jesus wants to set you free. Some of us need to forgive. Some of us need to be forgiven. And some of us need to double down on Rehoboth. We need to make a commitment right now in the stillness of this moment that tomorrow morning we'll set the alarm 30 minutes earlier, that we will open up the Word of God. We will start to get in His presence. We will get in His Word. We will say, God, I need you in my life. Because life is too hard to go through it with no room for God. But He promises He'll never leave us or forsake us. Got to create room. So Jesus, right now, I thank you for this incredible church. Lord, LifeLink is making a difference, not just in the valley, not just in all of our lives, but Lord, together we are making a difference in dozens and dozens of churches across North America, and it's so such a beautiful thing. So Lord, I pray blessing on Pastor David and Pastor Cherie. Thank you for their team, for their family, for those that they have around them that lift up their arms. Father, I pray that you would just continue to multiply your anointing on this apostolic leader in the body of Christ. Raise up Pastor David, I pray. He is a pastor to pastors, a leader of leaders. Father, we thank you for bringing us individually to this moment. Some of us, just right now, you need to start forgiving people. You can see them in your mind's eye. Just begin to say it out. Jesus, because you've forgiven me of so much, I choose to forgive them. I choose to forgive them. I choose to forgive them. Some of us right now, Jesus, we need you to forgive us. God, forgive us of our sin. God, forgive us of stuff that in the past was a non-negotiable, but God, we've let it creep back in. Lord, forgive us of those things. Would you set us free today? Would you heal your sons and daughters today? Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Some of us, we don't know Jesus. You've come into this place. You've heard something about this church. Maybe your life's at an all-time low right now, and you've never been in relationship with Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, that's the whole reason we do all this every week, is so people like you can experience a God like we have. So many of the people sitting around you right now, they are in love with Jesus because they've experienced His grace and forgiveness in their life. And so I want to give you an opportunity right now before we move on with the remainder of our time together, we're not going to embarrass you or call you out, but I want to give you an opportunity. If you want to say yes to a relationship with Jesus, I'm going to lead us all in a prayer. And if that's you, it's as simple as acknowledging that we're a sinner, we're imperfect, we've missed the mark, that's easy. And inviting Jesus to come in and forgive us of our sin, and not just be our Savior, but be the Lord, the leader of our life. So come on, for the sake of those who are in this space right now who need that prayer, can all of us repeat this prayer after me? And if that's you, would you just pray this from your heart? Come on, let's pray together. Say, Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I acknowledge I'm imperfect. I need a Savior. I invite you, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean. Make me a new creation. I'm no longer an orphan. I'm a son and daughter of God. That is who I am. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And then, Father, right now, I pray, God, we just create a little Rehoboth right now. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would allow each and every one of us to just cross some lines in our heart today. We make some decisions today because we want to be different tomorrow. God, we want the fresh water of your Spirit to just well up from beneath us. God, thank you for this great church. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.